Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff, with real, hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
A lot of questions out there, but I think that it's now the moment to start at least discussing and bringing together people with a strong opinion on that, because we will need to act fast as soon as possible.
You've been an editor-in-chief over the most transformative decade the industry has faced, and how have you seen your role evolve?
My job is incomparably different than it used to be 10 years ago. The magazine and the brand and the content we're producing and the beauty we can put together is more important than me and the people that actually are working in this moment for the brand.
Hi, this is Imran Ahmed, founder and CEO of The Business of Fashion, and welcome to a special episode of the BOF podcast. These are unprecedented times, and unprecedented times call for unprecedented actions. At BOF, our mission is to open, inform, and connect the global fashion industry. And fulfilling this mission is more important now than ever. Across the entire BOF team, we have been working hard to serve our global community to help you navigate through the storm of change that the industry is currently experiencing. We don't know how long this storm will last, but we want to do our best to find an opportunity in this crisis. We are privileged to have access to the best experts, the most talented creatives, and the smartest thinkers in the fashion industry. And over the coming days, weeks, and possibly months, we will be bringing our global community together every day in a series of live digital events to better understand the impact of the coronavirus pandemic on our industry, to create a sense of global connectedness, and to share positive stories of learning and progress in facing the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead. On this special episode, we're bringing you our first BOF Live event, an interview with Emanuele Farnetti, editor-in-chief of Vogue Italia. Emanuele spoke to BOF's Robin Mallory Pratt about everything that's going on in Italy at the moment and how he and his colleagues at Vogue Italia and the wider Italian fashion industry are navigating these tough times.
Good afternoon or good morning to all of you that are joining us. I'm delighted to welcome Emanuele Farnetti, the editor-in-chief of Vogue Italia. He is one of Italy's most respected and experienced editors-in-chief. Mr. Farnetti, or Emanuele, joins me from Lombardy, near Milan, just outside Milan, which is now the region which has been worst impacted
by the coronavirus pandemic and sadly still faces a tragic loss of life each day. There was some positive news over the weekend that the number of new cases had dropped for the first time. And I know you will all join me in wishing Mr. Farnetti that this is the case. Emanuele, just to start us off, would you mind sharing some insight into the mood of the city and the spirit of your colleagues and your industry colleagues when you're interacting with them?
Yeah, of course. Good morning or good afternoon to everybody. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Business of Fashion. And let me first say thank you and catch the opportunity to have talking to an international audience to thank everyone everywhere in the world that is helping Italy today, private citizens, but also countries like China, Russia, Cuba sent doctors yesterday with a plane from Havana. So many people helping from everywhere in the world. I mean, the situation is still very, very bad. As you said, luckily, yesterday, the figures starting to look a little better, but of course, it's really too early to say that this upcoming week is going to be crucial to understand if we are getting close to the peak and start being able to recover. Very difficult to say now. The situation here is so bad. People are still dying. We have more than 5,000 people dead since the beginning of the virus. So it is very difficult for us to, you know, keep focusing on our job. But at the same time, I think it's very interesting for me to discuss with you, with all of you today, because there will be an aftermath. There's going to be a moment where we'll have to be together to help people and companies that will be, you know, afflicted by the consequences of the virus. And so it's a very good, an interesting moment for me to start discussing with you. As for the mood of the team, as you can imagine, it is, again, very difficult to focus. We have people everywhere in Italy because most of us decided not to stay in Milano. The company closed, the building, the Condé Nast building closed the day after the mayor of Milan decided to close schools and university. I have to say that our CEO, Fedele Usai, was very fast in reacting. We were probably the first public office in Milan that also we've been smart working for more than 3 weeks from now. Luckily, everybody is safe at the moment, but you know, of course, not being able to physically catch up, discuss, have a random encounter makes our job much more difficult than on a usual basis, you know.
Outside of the mood inside of Condé Nast itself, how has the reaction of the wider industry and your usual collaborators been?
Just to give your audience the feeling of how fashion is important for the Italian market, fashion is the second Italian largest industry. The first is metal manufacturing. We are talking about 500,000 people directly employed by fashion, 82,000 companies. It's really a huge part of the country, and it's mostly made of small or medium-sized brands, even companies that just hire 5 to 10 people. And you know how difficult that will be it's going to be for them to recover. Of course, we're in the moment, it's just like a limbo where we're actually, all of us are trying to find out what happened after. But what is very interesting for me to note is that a lot of effort has been made by everyone, all the big and small companies to give help to the government, to the local governments. Hospital, I just mentioned a few of them. Moncler decided to give 10 million to a new hospital in Milano. Armani did pretty much the same, 1.2 million. Just today, Prada, Gucci, and Valentino announced that they will produce an incredible amount of masks and medical overalls. So basically, they stopped producing garments and fashion and decided to start helping hospitals by producing equipments that we do need at the moment. So the feeling is that the whole industry is actually trying to work together and provide help to the people. And then there's going to be, I guess, time in the future to kind of plan things for the second half of the year. Now, really, the emergency is keeping everyone safe and healthy. And then the business is going to come later, I guess.
When you were describing the Italian industry just then and talking about how many small companies make it up and the structure of our industry and how we have all worked together over the past decades or more recently is based in a world that we think is very unlikely to exist again. You know, there have been a number of step changes that we have all experienced as digital innovation and revolution has been taken over by the Anthropocene that we are entering into, and concerns about climate change and various other factors. As you think about how the industry is structured, but specifically about how your team and your business traditionally used to do its business, how it used to execute creating a magazine and publishing that magazine, how is that going to be possible in the future or in the near term? And how are you working with your team currently?
Yeah, that was, of course, the very first thing we started discussing last week, because, you know, from one side, you want to keep people also thinking about beautiful, different contents, you know. So we decided to keep producing fashion contents and keep spreading fashion contents on our website and on our Instagram, of course. But at the same time, you need to find the right tone of voice, not to look like you're living in a different world. So it's advising, inspiring, encouraging, and entertaining people, finding, you know, the Vogue angle for doing that. Of course, we will not compete with other websites to give our news, but I'm sure that there's a lot of things that we can do to make life of our readers a little more pleasant and enjoyable today. So I have to say that I'm very proud that my company, Condé Nast Italy, was the very first to decide to give digital copies for free, for example. So we really, the next three issues of Vogue Italia are available for a free digital download. And by the way, this is also helping us to reach broader audience of people that are not usually buying the magazine on a monthly basis. So if you see it from this side, it's also interesting opportunity to speak to a larger audience, of course. And this is one thing. The other decision we made last week was giving free access to the Vogue Italia archive. That is like a really very, very, very important part of our brand. You know, that it's like 60 years of publications. Very easy to browse through a lot of incredible photography from all the big masters of photography, great writing. Usually it's on a subscribers base, but we decided to give it for free. And I'm very happy to see how many people from all over the world are actually catching this opportunity and, you know, flying with their fantasy through beautiful places and accessing to incredibly strong contents from the last, again, 50 years. And this is the very first thing we decided to do, and then of course we're producing a lot of content, digital contents again. To you know, people are locked in Italy; they cannot even walk outside with their dogs. They cannot run; they cannot go running anymore since yesterday. So the minimum we can do is try to give a help, and just, you know, try to entertain them with all the contents that we're used to produce. Then of course, thinking about producing contents for the future is another story, and it's very, very challenging. So as I was telling you before, we are considering working on a very special issue very quickly, because my feeling is that releasing the magazine that we were just about to send to press last week is a little weird at the moment. It was a very beautiful issue we've been working on for a long time, but we are trying to figure out if there's room for doing something that is more news related. And my feeling is that as you guys are doing on Business of Fashion, there are a lot of contents that it's interesting to start discussing. Of course, nobody knows what's going to happen with the fashion shows. Nobody knows what's going to happen with retail, cruise shows. I mean, there are a lot of questions out there, but I think that it's now the moment to start discussing and bringing together people with a strong opinion on that, because we will need to act fast as soon as possible. And so I guess that the next issue is going to be a lot about this discussion.
Pivoting to create a whole new issue and, you know, pausing the issue that you had planned to send to press, in addition to big decisions like opening your archive to you know, giving away three free issues, these are big decisions that typically you would have made in an office with the team, with everyone that you needed around the table. What has been your experience of keeping the magazine running and taking these brave pivots whilst you have team members split across Italy, you know, with it differing personal experiences of the pandemic that we are facing. Are there any lessons you can share with the community as to how you've enabled collaboration or sort of empowered individuals?
Well, of course, as much as everyone else, I guess, we are spending a lot of time in Zoom meetings, Hangouts meets, because I do have the feeling that, it was not the case probably in the very first days, but now I wake up in the morning with the feeling that I need to actually see people that I work with. I actually miss them. I was impressed by the fact that I had a couple of meetings this morning and I was seeing people that I haven't been seeing for the last 2 weeks, you know. Then again, as I was saying, this is very difficult because the conversation through these media is not as smooth as it is live. The discussion we are having, usually having, is not exactly the same. But at the same time, and of course, we also have a lot of junior people in the team that are maybe living in Milano alone in small apartments where the life is not very easy. So I really think that the minimum we can do is to try to work together as much as possible. You know, in my personal experience, I'm not a big fan of meetings. So I usually, on a regular basis, I just host very small meetings of two or three people at the same time. But I'm impressed about the fact that now myself and the rest of the team feel the need of like large meetings. So we had a meeting of like around 40 people this morning. And although not everyone actually joined it in an active way, I'm sure that everybody kind of appreciated to actually be closer. So somehow, you know, in this weird and very sad moment, I also am feeling that the team is feeling closer than in other moments where life was easier. You know what I mean?
We certainly at BOF and through, you know, the wider circles of which I'm a part, that there's been a similar care and concern from everyone about each other's well-being, which I think has been very nice to see. How have you faced the sort of increased responsibility you have for some of your team members, given that they are, you know, facing some very, very challenging circumstances in unprecedented times? And you mentioned that you've recognized the importance of inclusive meetings and having these digital touch points that are both professionally based and include a case of personal connection. But is there anything else you'd like to share on how you're caring for your team?
Well, I guess the very first thing that, it was probably not even my decision, but my CEO decision was having everyone safe at home. So we were very fast for like a traditional publishing company in turning into smart working. In the first 48 hours, 95% of the team were able to access to computers from their place. VPN is working quite well. And I find out that it's actually, feasible, even for things that I thought were going to be complicated, like designing pages, layouts, reviewing pages. It's something that it is honestly feasible. So at the moment, the big recommendation is for everyone in the team to stay home, and really, because again, the business is important. We all care a lot about what we do, but this is a moment where actually the health of people working for us is much more important. So I would definitely never force anyone to do anything that they're not comfortable to do. This is the rule we're following at the moment. And then again, it's a short-term perspective, that's for sure. We will need to figure out what's going to happen within the next 4 or 5 weeks, but we're all prepared to keep working from our homes for a reasonable amount of time, you know, because it's definitely impossible to understand, even when we will be allowed to drive back to Milano, because starting from last night, we're not even allowed to drive outside the village or city we are in. So we're actually locked in the place where we are. So we will need to figure out a way to keep working together from far away. But I'm sure it's going to be very, very beautiful when we finally end up in the same room again. And this is going to happen for sure.
It will be. It's very early to discuss this in response to the pandemic that we are all facing. But it's undoubted that fashion and the pace of fashion has been increasing significantly over certainly the entire time that I've worked in the industry. And Just this year, there have been a number of global issues that the industry has got behind, be it the Australian wildfires or the pandemic we face now. And as a result, as we were talking about just before we started broadcasting, the lead times that traditional print media was based upon are struggling to respond to the pace at which news changes. Now, obviously, all of the publications or the successful publications that still are offering print media and other digital touch points for their community to access their brand and their content, you know, have all of those options, but in order to engage their community. But the skills of the individuals behind those channels, the members of your team, they have to change. People have to be able to work quickly, to work adaptively, to take autonomy. You know, can you tell me about anything that you've experienced or witnessed that you've seen that you see as a key skill for people in the fashion industry to hold as we move forward and understand how the industry will have to change and how we work changes?
Well, there are a couple of points that I think is worth discussing. One is that it's really interesting because we're putting together, as I was mentioning before, contents and interviews and opinions from very different people. And one of the pillars of the common points of this opinion is that after a long time of disintermediation of people bored about authorities, about knowledge, people that used to fall in love for very young and fresh opinions coming from everywhere. There is one of the first feelings that we are all experiencing now is that we are looking for knowledge, we are looking for experience, and we do want to trust people that are actually, you know, skilled, that they study. I mean, of course, the first things that comes to my mind are doctors and scientists, but this is probably going to affect the larger world because, again, we all feel that there's need and there's going to be more and more need of you know, knowledge. And this is something that might be interesting for the future. Not that I have anything against, you know, influencers, bloggers, street style people, that is totally fine. We're working with them. We love them. But even in our small world, in our industry, I have the feeling that there will be more need for skills and knowledge and experience. This is one point. Second, of course, is, as you said, is being fast in reacting and adjusting. If we can make this issue coming out in a couple of weeks' time, it's going to be because it's a miracle of, you know, people actually being able to ship clothes before countries were locking down, friends willing to give a help from the place they were, finding solutions. And this is why I'm really confident that it's going to be a very special moment for Vogue Italia. And then I guess it's about connecting dots. You know, the first lesson I learned when I joined Vogue Italia 3 years ago was that Franca Sozzani, that made this magazine, this brand legendary, was pretty much the first one that understood that fashion is just a language that can be used to, you know, tell a lot of different stories. People still remember those five or six covers of Vogue Italia, the Black Issue, the Plastic Surgery. I mean, all those legendary Vogue Italia issues. Not many people remember the beautiful fashion covers by Steven Meisel, but most of the people from the industry remember those four or five covers. And this is because she was the first to understand how to use fashion to talk about the wider world. And then a lot of others followed. And we're trying to do our part in, you know, keeping that tradition alive. And I think that this is a very good point. I mean, I think that the people now are looking for meaning. I mean, even in our business, I mean, looking for meaning, looking for something that really matters, and it's going to be more and more. It doesn't necessarily mean that we need to deliver content that are like every time very, you know, serious and politically meaningful, but it means that we are actually looking for something that has a, that again has a meaning, and this is part of the DNA of Italian Vogue, and this is something that I think is going to be even more important in the upcoming months, I guess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real, hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? For me, I got a chef-grade range recently, and now I'm cooking new things every single night. Seriously, no cuisine is off limits. The point is, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. I can picture myself with a car full of groceries, cruising down the highway, soaking up the sun with the available dynamic sky panorama glass roof. Ugh, pure bliss. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX. Luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
It's also something that is increasingly a part of the editor-in-chief role. Fashion as a language with which we can process the world and as a mirror to the society we live in has naturally been imbued by the substantive issues with which we face, be that inclusivity, diversity, sustainability, all of these things. And I wondered, I believe your first editor-in-chief position was at Architectural Digest. You've mm-hmm. been an editor-in-chief over the most transformative decade the industry has faced. And how have you seen your role evolve? And you know, today, what do you believe the crux of the editor-in-chief role is in the circumstances with which we live?
Yeah, to give a little bit of a background to our audience, before being editor-in-chief of Vogue, I've been editor-in-chief of quite a few different magazines, very different ones, sport magazines. I've been a deputy editor of the Italian largest Newsweekly. I work for a sports daily. I was editor-in-chief of GQ, AD, launched a magazine called Icon, edited a women's fashion magazine called Flair. I was even briefly editor-in-chief of a magazine called Men's Self, meaning that coming from a very, you know, large and different editorial background. The first time I became editor-in-chief, it was probably 15 years ago. And back in those days, I mean, first of all, my feeling is that I became editor-in-chief of magazines right after the big golden years of magazines. So I've been struggling to with, you know, decreasing markets and problems and declining of print for my entire professional life. And this is something so that I'm kind of used to. But of course, when I started editing a magazine, all of us editors were in charge of, you know, focusing on contents, producing contents, print and digital contents after the first years. But it was just, that was pretty much the job. Now, especially at Vogue, you're actually pretty much like the CEO of a media company that, you know, covers so many different activities and engage with audience in so many different ways that you actually need to put together very, very different skills. Then, of course, being again having an editorial background for me is very important, because I guess that producing contents is more important than the media that you will use to distribute that content. So it's a learning process where you actually learn how to use all the different tools that you have. And in the case of Vogue Italia, there are many, of course, a very strong Instagram and Facebook. We're doing so many, you know, we used to do so many events, co-branding, working with brands. So again, my job is incomparably different than it used to be 10 years ago. And I guess it's going to be very different in 5 years' time, I guess.
I'm sure it will be. The February 2020 issue, which was illustrated and was a response to the flooding of Venice and the climate crisis, which we are still facing as a planet, now serves as a very stark reminder that we really do have to examine how we operate and what we do. How are you approaching your ability as the leader of a publication to support different issues, be that climate crisis through that issue or the April issue that will be focused on this pandemic, or in whichever way you approach it? How are you approaching what you do and the level of commitment you make to each of the causes? You know, there's too many causes for any one company to support in any real way. There are a number of different global metrics that are used to identify good work or identify positive impact. How do you approach that?
That's a very good point. I mean, I think that as we were discussing earlier, readers and our audience expect us to have a voice and have a point of view on the most relevant topics today. But at the same time, I don't want to give the feeling that we need every single issue to actually be dedicated to a cause. That would not look sincere to me, you know, at the end. Honestly, I mean, not talking about this very specific moment, but generally speaking, we are a fashion magazine, and what we're supposed to do is celebrating fashion, of course, in a very interesting and challenging time. I mean, so there are a lot of incredibly relevant questions upon us. Very generally speaking, do we still need fashion? Do we still need to buy more clothes? Do we still need to attend fashion shows? Does it still make sense to fly 1,000 people from one country to another just to attend to a 15-minute shows? I mean, there are a lot of things that we need to face as a fashion title, as an industry in general. What we're trying to do is just try to be as honest as possible. Again, knowing that our job is not about, you know, every single issue and every single day on our digital platforms to stand for a cause, because this, I mean, what I don't like about sometimes about the conversation within this industry is this idea that you're focused on a very specific cause, like 2 years ago, Me Too, and then you move on, and then it's sustainability, and then again, it's like climate change, and then again, it's diversity, and then you start over again. I mean, all those causes, all those topics are in the DNA of Vogue Italia more than in the DNA of other brands, and we need to have a voice and to keep sending strong messages about the about those topics, but we don't want to just focus on those, you know. So the plan for this year was, as you mentioned, we were quite successful in this all illustrated issue in January. That was like very impressive for me for a couple of reasons. First was, of course, I mean, in a lot of different ways, but the first one is that clearly people were kind of missing this idea of fashion illustration. It's a little thing. I mean, we're discussing in these dramatic days about minor things, but fashion illustration is an art that was kind of missed, you know? So I was happy to see how many people reacted and that we were using that for a cause, not just for the sake of doing something beautiful. And then, of course, there's another technical thing that it's interesting to notice, that is that, and it's what I call the multiply effect of Vogue Italia. You know, when you're doing something, again, it might sound banal, but it's interesting to notice when you're doing something different on a magazine like Vogue Italia, people do react. I mean, I always think about the September issue of a couple of years ago, 2017, there was a Merlin Marcus cover with a lot of different people kissing each other, boy and boy, girl and girl, girl and boy. And it was something that was, I mean, a little nice idea, but nothing special. And a lot of other magazines did gay kisses on their cover, but the fact that it was Vogue Italia made it totally viral. So what I always tell my team is that we need to think about how different the impact of some content can be if you spread it through a media like Vogue Italia compared to other medias. And this is not for being arrogant, it's just for being responsible.
When you think about the impact of spreading content through Vogue Italia, the multiplier effect that you've just mentioned, you know, as you start responding to the pandemic in a less of a news-based way, less of an entertaining your community and supporting them and advising, but actually putting together your next issue in April, what is the lesson that you're going to share, or what is that you're, you know, with this voice that you have? What is your response to the pandemic?
If I have to think about one, it'll be about, and this is something that is quite intense for Italians, is moving from I to us, you know what I mean? So it's this idea of community. It's about me, but also my team. It's about my team in Milano, but also my team in New York. It's about my team and the rest of the company. What Vanity Fair Italy is doing is very important for us at the moment. It's about the community of our friends, meaning photographers, stylists, models that are trying to give a help to put together this issue. And the industry and the society. I mean, we are born and raised in a very individual environment. My feeling, again, still being in a limbo in a moment where it's difficult to figure out what's going to happen, is that there's going to be many opportunities for all of us as long as we can work together. And I don't think we're going to enter in a moment where it's going to be me. That's why, for example, for mentioning another important aspect for me, it is very important for me that the magazine Vogue Italia is more relevant than the editor-in-chief. I mean, editor-in-chief's but the magazine itself is more important. I mean, I respect other approaches, but this is the way we handle the magazine and the brand and the contents we're producing and the beauty we can put together is more important than me and the people that actually are, you know, working in this moment for the brand.
I'm conscious that we've run out of time, but I have two more questions. One from the audience who are watching. Lauren Walsh has asked how you're approaching working with freelancers. And when you think about the evolution from I to us, you know, it's very easy for us to forget about the huge network of individuals that work in freelance capacity across the industry. And their ability to travel, their ability to, you know, is one of the more immediately obvious areas where there will have to be change for it to continue. How have you considered the freelance community and obviously the very high profile collaborators you work with around the world?
Well, in my mind, Vogue Italia, it is a hub of freelancers. I mean, we have a small team compared to other titles, and this is not a matter of cost. It's a matter of, you know, trying to have a very small team and being able to bridge as many different talents everywhere in the world working together. That's why, just to give an example, we don't have a proper fashion director, because we think that Vogue Italia should be the place for the best possible talents in terms of styling, photography, everywhere in the world. So freelancers, rather than having a small team producing all the contents in-house. I mean, there are pros and cons, of course. There are advantages and disadvantages, but this is the way we are kind of thinking the magazine. I was having a live interview with Remo Ruffini from Moncler, and he was telling me that he feels Vogue Italia very much as Moncler genius. Moncler decided not to have a creative director, but to bring different people every season to work, to play with the brand. And this is kind of the same way we see the magazine. Ferdinando Verderi, my creative director, and I are really trying to bring together the best possible talents. So it is a magazine that is living through the voices and the eyes of people everywhere in the world. We have a very large community of photographers that work together on this platform we call Photo Vogue, and we bring them to Milano for this Photo Vogue festival. So Vogue Italia is about the voices of people everywhere in the world that contributes to the magazine much more than it is about me and my small team in Milano.
My final question was actually, it is really just what gives you hope at this time. You know, we face very, very challenging circumstances, but a number of very insightful and respected individuals from a number of industries have highlighted that this cause for us to slow down, pause, and this opportunity for reflection, you know, could create some positive impact despite the very tragic loss of life that we are experiencing. Italy is obviously experiencing disproportionately highly. Is it that you come back to when you need to feel hopeful?
Yeah, I understand the point. I mean, I really think that us are actually forced to give more weight and more meaning to what we have and what we do in our usual life. I mean, I was thinking about myself being kind of, you know, I should not say that, but maybe bored to attend to some, you know, events, or tired of traveling, or feel the need to, you know, to buy something new. I mean, I guess that the only good side of the situation we are challenging is pretty much about the fact that we are actually figuring out what we are missing. And hopefully when this is going to be over and people will be safe again, also going to a shop and buy fashion is going to be like a celebration of freedom and a little sign of victory. And then, of course, finally being able to catch up with all the people we are missing today is going to be even more beautiful than it used to be. We are a generation that used to give things for granted, you know, and even kids are kind of used to have access to everything, to be able to travel everywhere in the world, to buy fashion for reasonable prices. I mean, I guess that we're going to end up in a situation where we will probably have less, but we will give more meaning to what we have. And this is something that might also have like some positive impact.
Emanuele, those are all of my questions. Is there anything that you wanted to share with our community before I let you get back to your work?
Well, there's a little personal story that I want to share with you, just because it says something about Italia. You know, as you might see this picture behind me, this is a family house. This is my grandfather. He used to be like an important judge back in the 60s and 70s. And we found out recently that a commando of the Red Brigade terrorists were just about to kidnap him. And then luckily they were stopped by the police like the day before. And so, I mean, if that didn't happen, I was probably not going to be here with you today. That is for saying that the country went through very intense and difficult moments before the Second World War, years of terrorism, years of mafia. But we do our best when we have our shoulders against the wall. So I'm sure we will recover. And we are looking forward to welcome you all in Italy, if not this summer, very soon, to enjoy what we think is the most beautiful country in the world.
For good reason. Well, thank you again for your time, and please take our best to your team and to all of our industry colleagues, and let us know if there's anything we can do to help and support.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure for me to be with you.
Thank you, Emanuele, and thank you to everyone that joined. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, thank you.
If you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, give us a rating, and you might be interested in joining the Business of Fashion's global membership community, BOF Professional. Our members receive exclusive deep dive analysis, regular email briefings, as well as unlimited access to our archive of over 10,000 articles, our new iPhone app, biannual special print editions, and all of the online courses and learning materials from BOF Education.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.